Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, tens of thousands of Palestinians are seeking shelter and a safe location as the exodus from Gaza's second city of Khan Yunis continues in response to Israeli military evacuation orders. The UN estimates that nearly a quarter of a million people in eastern parts of the city are affected by the orders issued on Monday by Israel, which suggest Israeli forces are set to re-enter. Shortly before coming on air, I spoke with UNRWA Senior Communications Officer Louise Wateridge from the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza, and I began by asking her about the situation on the ground there.
So, I mean, in Nusayrat, in the last couple of days, we've started to see families arrive in this area. Very sad scenes, similar to what we have seen in the Gaza Strip so many times. This is after there were Israeli-issued evacuation orders and evacuation notices in the eastern part of Khan Yunis. This really caused panic and chaos on Monday night because, you know, these areas that were in this evacuation order affected 250,000 people. And in the nighttime, you know, you can imagine if you've got young children, if you're elderly, sick, with a disability, there's very limited options that you have in terms of what you can do and where you can go. So we've seen the last 24 hours, you know, people in panic, people in fear, but certainly on the ground, the biggest question, as always, is where am I going to go? Where do I take my family and where is safe? And it breaks my heart to say that there is just nowhere safe. And still 8 months into this war, there is no guarantee of safety anywhere here.
The Israeli evacuation order, Louise, is affecting about a quarter of a million people. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the amount of people who are in the area who where the evacuation order was issued. So those people will now be thinking about what their next steps are going to be. There are not many options. There are certainly no good options. We've got hundreds of thousands of tons of trash piled up here. There's buildings filled with rubble and destroyed. There's a big concern for unexploded ordnance because this movement is happening so quickly and so frequently. In terms of the military operations, which covers a vast amount of the Gaza Strip, and then, you know, the forced displacement, having people move. A big concern for the United Nations at the moment is the unexploded ordnance that people might face on any kind of route they might take. Mm-hmm. So we're very concerned for the population at the moment in this area.
You describe it very well, Louise. The UN is saying that this evacuation is chaotic in terms of its practicality. You're also saying it's different to previous displacements. How so?
I mean, for one, I mean, as I said, I'm in Nusayrat. Right, what I can see here is up to the very shoreline where the water is coming in on the beach, there are makeshift shelters. There's plastic sheeting, not even tents, plastic sheetings, handmade structures, and the water is washing up as far as the first line of makeshift shelters. That's how packed it is here in the western part of the middle Gaza. Where are these people going to go? Every time another evacuation order is issued, the forcibly displaced population, there's less and less space for them to go. So not only is the lack of safety, which has always and forever been a concern throughout this war, but the physical space available for people to go to now with the rubble, with unexploded ordnance, with the disease spreading in the trash, and with these families, hundreds of thousands of people crammed along the shoreline, where are these people going to go? And there's no easy answer. There's no clear answer. And really, you think now, UNICEF, back in February, they said 17,000 children were unaccompanied or alone. What are these children doing? When these evacuation orders are issued, what do these children know to do in this situation?
Where do they go, Louise?
We don't know. We really don't know. Everyone is doing a different thing. Everybody has a different reason. I was here when the Rafah evacuation orders were initially issued, and it's chaos. Every time it causes absolute chaos. There is no clear answer. Every family has a different way, a different reason. You know, my friends, some of them have elderly parents. It's very difficult to move in this heat with elderly parents who have been malnourished for the best part of 8 months. People are tired. You have people with young children, people with disabilities. It's endless. It's an endless misery for the population here.
Is it at least easier at this point to get aid to these people who need it?
Not at all. It's like pushing a boulder up a hill, and every day the hill gets bigger and we start at the bottom again. With these new evacuation orders, that changes everything that humanitarians are doing on the ground. UNRWA is the largest agency in the Gaza Strip. We are doing everything we can, but every time these orders are issued, it means that's another area we cannot safely go through. We cannot safely collect aid from the Kerem Shalom crossing because of these orders. It impacts absolutely everything. A few weeks ago, we were all functioning out of Rafah, that's the United Nations and humanitarian organizations. Now we're scattered in various areas in the middle of Gaza. You know, we had health centers fully functioning in Rafah. Now we only have temporary health facilities in the middle area. Everything becomes temporary again when you have to move like this. And for your humanitarian response for 2.2 million people who've not had anything for the best part of 8 months, who need absolutely everything, it's a living nightmare. It's absolutely impossible, and people are exhausted. Not only are they giving their lives in terms of our staff on the ground who are working every day, giving their lives, they are leaving their families to work and to provide support for the community. It's hopeless, though. It's absolutely hopeless, and then they every day they reset and try again, but it's exhaustion all around here.
Israel is saying they're doing this because missiles were fired from that area in towards Israel. But if more fighting were to break out in Khan Yunis, in that area at this point, with what you're describing, it would be devastating, wouldn't it?
I think the biggest challenge and the biggest difficulties, as we've always said with these forced displacements, is not everybody is able to move so quickly. When you have a population who's elderly, when you have people with disabilities, when you have young children, and after 8 months of being malnourished, it's very, very difficult for so many reasons for people to move. It also costs to move. If you have a vehicle, if you're lucky enough to have a vehicle available or pay for a vehicle, you have to have money to do that. Not a lot of people here have money anymore. It's not being printed. There's no bank to go to get physical cash. So even the physical move, you know, we're seeing this time, people are moving with only what they can carry in their hands. Before, we are seeing, you know, any kind of vehicle piled up as high as it would balance, with children on the top holding on to things. Even now, it's donkey and cart, and it's people just carrying in their hands what they can and fleeing, and it's absolutely awful.
Can I ask you finally then, Louise, how quickly and how prevalent disease is in Khan Yunis, in that area where people are so condensed? And also, what are the health facilities like, the hospitals, in terms of dealing with any disease at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I was at a health facility today and asking the pharmacist, you know, what have they noticed during this war? What are the differences even in medicine? And they're having to provide a substantially large amount of diarrhea medicine for children. There's so much disease spreading around the communities. There's skin conditions, there's hepatitis A, there's waterborne diseases. So they're trying to provide as much medicine they can from our facilities to help people with this. But it's a weekly battle, because the things causing it aren't changing. You know, the conditions that are causing these illnesses and diseases are not changing. The water is dirty. People are resorting to drinking and eating, cooking out of seawater even. There's disease spreading in the heat, in the piles of trash that are piling up. And it's going to keep recurring unless those conditions change. So our pharmacists are fighting a losing battle. The doctors and nurses are fighting a losing battle, trying to keep treating these illnesses that are going to keep recurring in these conditions.
Yeah, you recently described Gaza as hell on earth, Louise, and it seems you're not resiling from that position at all.
I mean, seeing steaming and on fire piles of trash with children climbing through with packs of dogs looking for food, scraps of food to eat, is hell on earth, as far as I'm concerned. There's nothing compares to the Gaza Strip at the moment. It's a horrific place to be. There's very few options to people, and the population is trapped. They are not able to leave. They are not able to leave the north. They are not able to leave the south. Medical evacuations for the entirety of the war have been few and far between, and it's absolutely unacceptable for people to be living and forced to be living under these conditions.
Okay. UNRWA Senior Communications Officer Louise Wateridge, thank you very much indeed for joining us.